Hello, and welcome to NC State's Audio Abstract. I'm your host, Tracy Peek. Today, we're going to talk about our perceptions of and attitudes toward aging with an expert on the topic, Dr. Siobhan Neupert, an associate professor of psychology here at NC State. Welcome, Siobhan.
Thanks for having me, Tracy.
So, your work overall focuses on how people perceive their own aging process. And that makes me think of the old adage, you're only as old as you feel. Is there any truth to that statement?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's probably some truth to it. Feeling better about our age is related to really important objective outcomes like physical health, mental well-being, and even longevity, how long we live. So it really is an important topic for linking our subjective perceptions or how we feel about our age to these objective real-world outcomes. In my lab, we also find that when people feel good about how their aging process is going, they're actually more resilient to stress when they experience it. So there are some real benefits in feeling good about how your aging is going.
Let's start with what we mean when we talk about our own perception of aging. What does that mean?
Yeah, it can mean lots of things. If I just ask you, how old do you feel?
Right.
You might say a number, right? You come up with a number, and that is a very important metric or marker of your subjective age, how you feel about your age or how you report or perceive your age. I could also ask you, how old would you like to be? You could give me a number, and that may be different from your chronological age. I could ask you, how old do you look? Which again might be different from your chronological age, or how old do you act, right? So these are all different, very specific ways in thinking about our age from a subjective frame because they may be different than what would indicate from our birth certificate. Typically, starting at around age 40, people on average report feeling 20% younger than they actually are. So a typical 40-year-old may report feeling 32. A typical 80-year-old may report typically feeling about 64. And so those are the general ways in which people tend to perceive their age or feel their age. But that's not always true. Those numbers can move. We see in my lab that you may not always feel a given age. That can change on a daily basis.
And stress seems to be a factor in some
yes.
of this changing.
Yes. So we find in my lab pretty consistently that when people experience more stress on any given day, they tend to feel older than days when that same person had less stress in their life. And these aren't necessarily major, big, stressful events. These could be something as seemingly minor as getting stuck in traffic or having an argument or having a work deadline. Those things can make you feel older on that day. And the next day, with less stress, you may feel younger. When people feel subjectively younger, they also tend to live longer. There's a clear link with longevity. So it's an interesting idea that perhaps this could reflect some implicit or even explicit understanding of one's own physical health, that when you don't feel or you feel fewer aches and pains that may accompany normal aging, that you're more likely to report feeling younger without those pain or physical cues that may come into play.
But feeling younger isn't always helpful to us, is it?
It's not universally always true that our end goal should be to feel good about our aging. There are some scenarios where feeling good about your aging may actually be a vulnerability. So we found in my lab that when people feel really good about their aging process, they think things are going great. When they find themselves in a scenario or in a situation, like a daily experience where something bad happens that highlights their aging in a negative way, they are much more vulnerable to the negative effects of that experience compared to people who may not feel as positive about their aging. Their moods are worse on those days. So there are some potential vulnerabilities that may be attached with always feeling good about how your aging is going.
Obviously, the perceptions are going to change over time. Stress plays a role in how these perceptions change over time. Actual physical well-being plays a role. What other factors can influence this?
So there's some really interesting work that Becca Levy at Yale has done around this idea of stereotype embodiment. And this is a phrase that she uses, which I think really nicely describes this very interesting phenomenon where we have many stereotypes about many different groups of people. But the typical experience is that you have a stereotype about a group that you will never be part of. This is the one scenario where we all hope that as we get older, we will become part of the group that is being stereotyped. We hope to become older. And so we will become an in-group or a member of a stereotyped group. And so how we perceive that stereotype as we learn about older adults when we are younger can influence how we feel about our own aging and what we expect to experience as we get older. So this process of actually moving into becoming part of a group that was once a stereotyped group that you were not part of has interesting implications even for how we choose vocabulary terms to describe older adults. So I try to be very careful and use terms like older adults or people who are over the age of, and I pick a number. This is different from what many people may consider a typical term like elderly. The research field has really tried to move away from using that term because we believe words matter and labels matter. But the term elderly really does connote some negative kinds of scenarios. You might think of someone who is frail or someone who is less able, and that is certainly not universally true of older adults.
We know that our attitudes towards aging can have implications for how we're handling stress, how we're dealing with day-to-day things that may be happening to us in the course of aging that aren't that great. Maybe our knees don't work the way they used to, and we can't outrun our kids anymore, you know, things like that. But are there practical implications for folks who are aging that might help them in terms of physical resilience?
It's an interesting question. So the idea that perceptions and attitudes work together, they are tightly linked, right?
Right.
One can determine how we feel, and the other might be determining what we actually choose to engage in, what kind of activities we seek out. So your example with knees that may not function as you could have previously been used to, right? That may mean that you are not doing runs anymore, not going for long walks, or you're doing things that would help preserve your knees. And that's a very common, typical experience. I think what we're suggesting based on this work is that any intervention that would be valuable should probably target the things that are happening in people's daily life. Because we see these fluctuations on a day-to-day basis, your feelings about your age, how old you feel, can change widely from one day to the next, that we think that that's the area and that's the level at which interventions should be targeted. So people who feel generally positive about their own aging might actually be the most vulnerable to daily fluctuations in the bad experiences that highlight their aging. So what could we do to try to minimize those bad experiences that highlight the negative things about aging? If they feel they have to limit their daily activities, or if others may assume they need assistance, that may take a toll on how they feel and then what they choose to do. So any efforts to help older adults remain active on a daily basis, or that reduce societal ageist beliefs, we feel could be really important targets for future interventions.
And this is all very relevant now because the American population is aging. We have a huge chunk of people, the baby boomer generation, who are not getting any younger.
Right. I would also like to think about ways to begin even earlier before people feel that they need to be limited because of things that they may be experiencing with aging. How could they set themselves up well in midlife or even as young people or as children? How do children think about older people? How can we as a society somewhat shift our focus away from things that connote elderly or things that make being an older person maybe not so desirable and something that's more valued and more anticipated in a positive way, that we can see the benefits that come with aging?
It might be important to also, for the folks who are suffering from the rose-colored glasses syndrome, maybe teach people to be a little more realistic about what it actually is in some ways.
Yes. Awareness of what would be reasonable to expect And to know that when you're thinking about your personal aging, you are the best expert. You know your world, your routine, your abilities, your strengths, you know them the best. And so what could you personally expect and hope for as you get older? And what are the steps that you could take to try to achieve those goals? And so the extent to which people feel that they can take control or perceive they have control over their aging process is also a powerful predictor and indicator of emotional and physical well-being.
Your latest research has sort of an interesting wrinkle to this whole perception about aging, in that you looked at the ways that socioeconomic status might affect the way people feel about their aging. Tell me a little bit about that.
We were interested in trying to determine how people form or understand their attitudes or their perceptions about their aging beyond what is typically considered an important predictor, like their objective socioeconomic status, so their level of education or their income. So things that could be relatively objectively gathered. It's reasonable to expect that someone who is perhaps more well-educated and very wealthy might perceive that their aging is going well compared to someone who might be less well-educated or who is struggling financially. But what we found was actually really interesting. Those objective indicators didn't matter at all. When we asked people about their subjective socioeconomic position, so we gave them a picture of a ladder. It had 10 rungs. And we asked them to, on this ladder, circle the rung where they thought they stood relative to people in their own community. So if they circled the bottom rung of the ladder, they thought they were in the lowest social economic position in their community. If they circled the top rung of the ladder, then they thought they were the top in their community. And what we found is for the people who circled the higher up rungs, they felt uniformly better about their aging process. They felt younger. They had fewer negative experiences about their aging, and they had more positive experiences about their aging compared to people who circled the lower rungs on the ladder. They felt older. They had more negative experiences about aging. They felt worse about their aging, and they had fewer positive experiences. So it's not necessarily the objective education and income that matters. It's about how you perceive your socioeconomic position relative to those in your community. So we think about this as the, you know, it's the Joneses effect, right? Like chasing after the Joneses. It's really who you surround yourself and who you see in your community as the group that you make a comparison around.
Well, Siobhan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
We've been speaking with Siobhan Neupert, an associate professor of psychology at NC State. This is Tracy Peake. Thanks for listening to NC State's Audio Abstract.